Welcome to the Planet Podcast. I'm your host, Patrick Roanhaus, and we're coming to you just post E3 2010. Today, I'm here with some very special guests, the crew and hosts of Geeks On.
Hello, my geeklings!
Can we talk then?
Yeah, you can talk.
Okay. Sitting here in silence, just chomping.
This is your motivation.
That's very difficult for Matt to be quiet for that long.
Oh, absolutely. That was torture. I don't know why you would do that to me.
No live audience.
No.
Oh.
Freaking pre-Madonna.
Should we introduce ourselves for those of you who don't know who we are?
Who the heck we are? Yeah. Four weirdos.
My name is Aaron Hendricks, and I'm a graphic designer and filmmaker in Hollywood, and I'm a geek.
My name is Donald Marshall. I am a video game professional living here in sunny Hollywood, and I, too, am a geek.
My name is Matt King. I'm an actor here in Los Angeles, and I am a geek.
My name is Pete Robinson, and I'm a screenwriter here in Los Angeles, and I am a geek.
And so, being that we are all geeks...
You don't count. Okay, no, you count.
I'm wearing a Batman t-shirt.
No, you count.
Thanks a lot, Matt. Thanks a lot. All right, so we're talking about E3, which is the big, giant entertainment, electronic entertainment expo, which is the trade show for all video games to sell their wares to buyers and press to ogle booth babes over.
Okay, now, how long has this been back since it went away? Now, is this the second year?
It never went. This is the second year that's now actually not in the airport hangar.
Right. Yeah. Well, last year wasn't in the hangar. It was 2 years ago. It was in Santa Monica hangar, right?
Yeah. And then
last
had
year
all the
they moved. But it was sad last year.
So 4 years ago is when it went away from what it was in its incarnation that it was before.
Mm-hmm.
The sort of monster billion-dollar enterprise that it was before.
It was the anti-booth babe, anti-like very small, very private. You know, you had to be in the industry. Yeah.
You had to know Don.
And very, very dead.
Yeah, and everyone hated it.
Right.
There was actually a response to it. They did the E4All convention for a little while that I think, you know, another 12 people attended.
Yeah, exactly. That was the one open to the public, trying to get...
But, yeah. I mean, you know, E3 is not, for those of you not in the know, E3 is not really intended to be a public event. You know, it's partially for media, but it's really for buyers from different markets. So.
Well, the argument that we made before on Geeks On, Aaron had said, you know, this is upsetting because there is no other time that we have something that is, hey, it's video game week.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Exactly.
And Don's argument in response was that basically... Yes, but everybody is getting into crunch time so much to get things ready for E3 that you're producing worse material.
Yeah. Well, you know, because so much press is showing up and public and bloggers and everybody, everything's getting out there instantly, and they have a hard time controlling a lot of that press because they can't explain how where their development is on these video games. So if a partial video game is being shown and there's some press member out there who doesn't know exactly all of his facts, they may complain about the video game and comment on things that aren't really meant to be commented on at that point.
And say it looks like crap.
And so
that was actually a really famous Adam Sessler soapbox. He's a contributor for G4 TV, originally from Tech TV, which then was purchased by G4.
Right.
He did a whole thing about, not this year's, but the last year's before the E3 went away, talking about don't judge a game at E3. This is not the game.
Right.
And, like, that was a big, you know, rallying call between a lot of people who were not traditional journalists when they heard that.
Well, what would happen was that because everyone started to see these things get leaked, like, this game sucks, the frame rate was terrible. Well, the frame rate always sucks in unfinished games. Mm-hmm. What they had to do was they had to come out with a product that looked like they could release it.
Yeah.
And so they would spend 4 months out of the year making one level look great when they could have spent 4 months out of the year actually making the game.
So then my question is, did they actually end up with better product when E3 went to Suckland?
Well, I think the big thing is that a lot of people I talked to who were this is my second E3. I never went to it when it was, you know, in airport hangars and then in private hotel room, you know, previews. And so I'm still thinking of it through the glass tinted, you know, the rose colored glasses of when I was reading GamePro at 12 years old.
Right.
And, you know, be like, wow, it's this big giant, you know, event. I heard a lot of people saying that it actually is better to have this big giant trade show because you have easier access to things. I think a lot of people are now knowing what an alpha build is. I mean, like, I think the fact that Google's put beta on all their products, people are like, oh, it's beta. Means it might not work. I think the collective unconscious now knows that.
But Google beta products are like you could put it in a box and ship it.
Yeah.
There's never. There's a couple bugs, but they don't. It's not frustrating.
Yeah.
Google have you used Buzz?
But even that.
Even that. Well, no, I think that's the problem, is nobody uses it.
But I actually tend to agree with what Patrick is saying. The concept of alpha, the concept of beta, is now actually much more widespread understanding.
I know what that understanding, but I still to this, I'll read IGN and they get all worked up about things. I'm like, what are you talking about? You know, that is, get worked up about cutscenes still.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I can't wait. Final Fantasy 14 looks so awesome. How do you know? You saw a cutscene.
Well, the thing is, with Final Fantasy now, since it was 12, I think, they started doing all their cutscenes with in-game engine. So, like, that...
Well, seeing that it's only 13 right now, that was, what, last year?
It was 11, 2 years ago?
No, 12 was 2 or 3 years ago.
I think it's number 14.
We're only in 13 now.
No, they're prepping for 14 now.
Yeah. They have the online game. And
all right.
Yeah.
Nonetheless.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I think one thing is you're starting to see... I mean, sometimes if you see glaring issues, I think, particularly with, like, frame rate drops... There are some people who can complain about that legitimately. Like, I mean, you look at Red Dead... what was the Red Dead...
Revolver, Redemption, Revolution, Redemption.
Redemption, thank you, Redemption.
Yeah.
It plays amazingly on both PS3 and Xbox 360. But on the PlayStation 3 version, you're getting 720p with a slight frame rate drops. Yeah. So people can legitimately... Like, that's going to be a glaring issue that was, like, shown, supposedly, in the last time they showed it for E3. Mm-hmm. So... You know, if you catch something in the butt and say, hey, fix it, they hopefully will fix it. Mm-hmm. But don't be, like, harping on it like it's a terrible thing.
I think they called it Red Dead Redemption because... did you get all the treasures in the game?
No, no,
okay, because you can become a treasure hunter, get all the treasures. Number 6 treasure is straight out the treasure from Shawshank Redemption.
Hmm.
You go to this big tree...
No more spoilers! You spoiled the flower-picking one for me already.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That's terrible for me.
Yeah, that was a great scene.
You're a monster!
For science.
But anyway, so E3 is, you know... If you're smart, you go and ask... You talk to the people while you're playing the game. You ask them... Where are you on this? And they'll say, hey, this is 60% done. Here is the problems we have. And if you understand that, then you just don't make comments like, you know...
Yeah.
I remember when I saw Halo on the floor, and I was like, wow, this is very stuttery and jumpy.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, no, we've got 4 more months to go. That's when we get rid of all that stuff. The very last step is make sure your frame rate works. And, you know...
They should put something up that basically says, you know, the number of months left in development and the percentage.
Some of them
they do
that.
They do that now. Like, a lot of the games particularly have text over them that says, this is an alpha build or this is a beta build. Like, I found that really interesting, the fact that they actually say, this is, you know, so many months till we go Gold Master, they said, basically.
Right.
And so, Gold Master is a concept where it's for people who don't know, it's the concept where you basically say, this is the final build before we ship the product. Many people who probably are Mac users know the term Gold Master from, you know, different OS X builds. But it was definitely interesting to see the text underneath of it, like, while you're playing the game saying, you know, alpha.
Did you try any of the betas or things that were ostensibly cool? Did you try, like, the Star Wars MMO? That's in beta, right?
That's in beta. They had the playable game last year. A lot of people didn't know that. It was off in some art display gallery for the Into the Pixel.
Lucas always has a small little room off to the side by themselves. Yeah. And a lot of times they hardly show anything. It's totally bizarre. And usually they'll say, like, oh, here, you're right, they have, like, an art show.
Yeah.
And then, like, behind a curtain they'll show a video game. It's totally bizarre.
Yeah, but, I played, I mean, I think, who here has played the StarCraft Online beta?
I haven't, and I really wanted to.
I mean, I'm not an RTS guy, but it looks polished as all hell. I mean, it looks good.
That game, I don't know, I think it's going to eat my life for a
little while. Zerg Rush!
Yeah. It looks
Blizzard.
Like,
I mean, Blizzard is the Rolls Royce of video games, you know, and their budget reflects that. I mean... Mm-hmm. Honestly, most companies can't begin to put into the development budget that Blizzard does.
Don't you think Blizzard's the Rolls Royce of video game?
Yeah, that would be a fair assessment.
I mean,
what? Because they just choose one card, so they're actually effectively Aston Martin. They just choose one card.
I mean, they've
Lotus
got
Lotus.
Really, they've got, you know, Warcraft.
They usually have two different titles in development at any time. They've got Diablo, StarCraft, and Warcraft. Pick two. You know what I mean.
Pick two of the three.
Yeah,
I really feel like I don't see anything in StarCraft or Diablo that is a leap like Warcraft was to all other MMOs. Like, when you sat down, when you played World of Warcraft, you're like, damn, this is done really well, and it's far superior than these other products.
Mm-hmm. So you think StarCraft 2...
StarCraft 2 looks like StarCraft 1 with really awesome graphics.
Well, the thing is, that's... StarCraft,
as far as you know, having not played...
As far as I know.
For those of us who don't know, StarCraft 2... And StarCraft Online are different things, right? Or are they the same?
No. StarCraft and StarCraft 2 is the same thing.
Well, basically, it's you have the different factions.
But StarCraft Online.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's something called StarCraft Online.
No, there is no StarCraft Online.
I thought someone said StarCraft Online.
You will be able to play StarCraft Online.
You will be able to play it.
Before, you had to dial into someone else's modem.
Yeah.
Oh.
There was no network.
Wonderful gameplay, believe you.
Got it.
The IDS modem connect systems. Oh, God, I can't.
I misunderstood.
That was a painful time. That was a painful time. But yeah.
They haven't announced anything that said, this is where we're taking the next step in real-time strategy games.
Well, no, the thing is, the one thing with StarCraft is that it is a professional gamer game.
Yes.
The fact that you have, in Korea, television networks dedicated to the gameplay of StarCraft. You actually, you know, have commentators. Actually, it was the guys who do Formula One, the broadcasting of Formula One races are now contracted to do the broadcasting of StarCraft games.
I did not know that.
Yes.
That's awesome.
It's very disturbing.
There's something really wrong about that, though. But like, as someone who was flicking through the channels one day and then came across Magic being played on ESPN2.
What? Right?
ESPN2, World Magic Championship. And I think they had taken all of their golf announcers and put them on Magic. Like, yes, Chris just played a Shiva Dragon. This is very unusual this early stage in the game. It's a very risky task.
I cannot believe he played the Black Lotus.
He is open to vulnerable to terror attacks at this point. You know,
like, oh, my
God. Oh, he put down an instant. Oh, that's a truly good play. But he channeled it with a fork and meteor fireball.
He's left himself open by tapping at all of his mana.
It's the same thing with Diablo. You know, they made some announcements on Diablo, and they made announcements like, you can play up to four different types of characters. I'm like, oh, really? Hello, 1999. I mean...
Well, it's seriously. Whether or not you can play them, how customizable are they, and as Blizzard always does things that everybody else has done, but done it slightly better.
Well, no. Well, World of Warcraft is way better. I think that's what I was hoping to see, like a damn...
Right, but you still had complaints about World of Warcraft and the universe that it brings forward and the fact that you're always just going and hunting wolves.
Well, yeah, that's just not my gig.
But one of the
grind it good.
But one of the things with StarCraft 2 is that StarCraft had a great story to it, mm-hmm. I thought.
Yeah.
The RTS, I thought, was a fantastic story. And if you followed that story all the way through, it was just a very satisfying end. And in each wave of people that you got to play created a bigger arc to the story. So I'm actually more interested in StarCraft 2 just to see the continuation of the story.
Well, that's cool, because I play Halo games over and over and over. It's the same damn game. They're not getting any better.
Well, the one thing with StarCraft 2, one thing with StarCraft 2 in particular is that they're actually creating an in-game store. One, if you are a fan of StarCraft...
An in-game store?
So you can spend more money.
No. Here's the thing. It's not about spending more money. It's about you can make maps and make assets and sell your own games. You can actually create your own, like, you know...
So they get people to produce content for them.
That's
awesome.
And
they make the money.
I think the content producers
make the money.
I don't understand why anyone would buy those things when almost you can get all those things previously for free.
Well, the thing is, basically, it shows a level of quality. Usually it's that idea that if you put a price on something and if enough people actually buy it, it shows that it's a far greater product if they're willing to pay
for
it.
So you could put it up for free, probably.
You could put it up for free if you want.
Okay.
I mean, I actually imagine that's how people will launch. you know, I've made this, it's free. Mm-hmm. First 100 people get it free. If we get 100 people within a certain time, I'm going to raise the price to 50 cents.
Or it's like you give one of the maps free and it's like, here's the taste, yeah. Buy the rest.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, I think it's actually very smart because there's a lot of people out there that make fantastic content. When I was working on Call of Duty, in the expansion pack for the first Call of Duty, there was a map that was fan-generated. That was phenomenal. It was hands down better than what the designers from...
Yeah, I mean, Team Fortress was one of the best examples ever. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, and it creates more fan loyalty and more fan interaction.
No, I mean, you forget Counter-Strike. I mean, that started as a mod, and look, was the flagship for many years.
Left 4 Dead was a mod.
Mm-hmm. You know, if Blizzard takes you know, a little cut of that, like the Apple Store does, and they can make a lot of money that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a really smart business model. They create the engine and let the... You know, it's just very smart.
And the thing is, they showed some people making, like, fantasy games using the StarCraft II engine. Like, you can create 100% original assets as total conversion packs for StarCraft II.
So your textures and all that?
Everything.
Okay.
And it has an interface that lets you do it. It's basically, if you could imagine anything, they said, imagine Neverwinter Nights. Neverwinter Nights. Times 1,000 in the ability of creation for content. Hmm.
Oh, wow.
So,
because Neverwinter Nights, I was like, wow, this is really neat. I don't have the time.
But the thing is, if you have an incentive of making money, there will be some Chinese, you know, workshop to make.
Oh, yeah.
back when PC was a thriving platform, you know, you got a lot more of that. I mean, every major game did that. Like, Civilization 4 has buckets of, you know, deities running amok on Earth, fantasy world equivalent, sci-fi world equivalent, all of it. Because fans hacked it and made something new.
Isn't the new Civ coming out?
Civ 5 was previewed. Yeah.
So excited.
All right, so let's talk E3.
All right, so talking about, you're saying, the death of PC games, one thing that was shown off and actually was really impressive to me was the service On Live.
I looked that up on my iPad. They demoed it on the iPad.
They did. They actually, it basically... the technology is using distributed computing, you know, remote, like, VMware kind of stuff where you have, you know, virtualization on a server level of video games that's then broadcast over to you on either your Mac, a Windows machine, or a little deck of card-sized box. And they even showed a demo version of it on an iPad.
Okay, explain this again.
So, in other words, all of the game... calculations and all the game playing is actually happening on their servers.
In the cloud.
And you are just using a input that's just sending the signal over there, and then they're sending essentially a live video
feed. So much less lag.
Yeah.
Probably more lag.
Actually, surprisingly, I was playing it felt exactly the same. And actually what's really interesting is because they were sending you a 60 frames per second feed in 720p. They're going to have a 1080p feed as well soon. But you do need, for the 720p, you need a 5 megabit per second internet connection.
Yeah, but
the cool thing is that means you can play games that your rig can't handle on their side, and then you just get the video feed in. And
so imagine that would also cut down on piracy and server hacking.
The guy actually, I know from my background in IT security, was the guy who sold a bunch of hardcore, serious firewall routers. We're talking like things that were like, they made hackers cry. And so he was a fan of distributed and remote computing stuff beforehand. And so the technology behind it is solid. They're using Dell servers, he said, like the big giant ones for virtualization. It's all their own secret sauce based off of open source software, they said.
So you think this is actually... better to actually compute in the cloud, you think is actually more secure?
A lot of people, when they first did it, questioned the idea, but not necessarily secure. They have to worry about hackers gaming their system,
right?
But when it comes down to it, if I have a busted ass netbook, I can be playing Crysis 2 at 1620 by 1280 if my netbook can do just the resolution for the video formats normally at 60 frames a second, independent of the hardware. It's just me sending signals for the control system,
right?
And so as long as I have that high-speed, you know, connection...
So effectively, you're turning your computer into a remote control.
It's back to being, you know, the original days of Asteroid being created on supercomputers on DARPANET.
I don't think it's going to catch on.
Well, the thing is, the first years...
I do.
I really do.
They made a partnership directly with British Telecom and AT&T. So supposedly the AT&T U-verse boxes, which you guys have available here in California, will have the ability of having the client built into them. as well as British Telecom's boxes for their service provider.
I think we have to depend on AT&T. That's
exactly.
a problem.
I understand that.
And the fact that they're also, they just won a federal something or other that said that they can choke, they can put choke points on.
But if the thing is, they're making a partnership so it's on their service, so they would be providing the bandwidth for the service. And so they would probably have a QoS.
Only $5.
Quality service, yeah. But
I think the future of video game might be, you know, this, you know, cloud where you don't really, that what they don't, more than piracy, what they don't want you to do is resell.
They actually, one of the biggest things about it was that the first year of the service is free, and then after that it's $4 a month. And then the games are from, they had Assassin's Creed, Batman, Arkham Asylum, Lego, Harry Potter, which isn't even, the latest one, which isn't even out yet, mm-hmm. actually on real PC yet. And I was playing, not Uncharted, the one where you have the grappling hook with the guy who has the weird accent for the character. Like, you would think it would be the guy from Drake's Fortune.
Machine Man, or what's
Bionic Commando.
It's not Bionic Commando. It's the one that has, like, the city in the skies of one of the hidden levels. Like, you...
Right now, 1,000 listeners are screaming at his one.
Yeah. I know.
It's not Zelda.
It's basically you're
this. The problem when you say grappling hook, it's like,
yeah, exactly.
You
know, it's like
the one with
Batman,
the grappling hook.
It's Zelda.
It's a new one
Unbound,
that where you can
or, not Unbound, but Infamous.
No, sorry. I know what it is. People are gonna yell at me later about this, but but basically they had it playing, and I was playing it at 720p on the TV, and I was quite impressed. And they said it was connecting out to their San Francisco database center. The fact that they're going to have game rentals is one of the biggest things.
So it's the Phantom.
Actually, I made a joke to the guy there saying, like, basically, you know, you guys are the new Phantom console, right? And he was like, yes, we know. But look,
I'm not getting the
hardware.
I saw the Phantom at E3. I know everyone says that it didn't exist. I saw it and I played it.
Once you know that entire thing, I could cut out right now and play back. It's like, I've seen the Phantom. I've seen it.
I am completely serious. They also... The only thing that survived with the Phantom...
What are you talking about? I know nothing.
The Phantom was this idea which you would... It was essentially a PC set-top box that would download the games, and you could play PC games on your TV.
Okay.
And you would just download all of them. And it was there. It was at E3, like, 5 years ago. And they had... The cool thing that they had with it was a lap keyboard... mouse thing that you could put on your mouse and use a keyboard and a mouse on a couch.
Yeah, so the keyboard setup was basically, the keyboard was on an angle like this, so your mouse hand was on the other side right here.
Wait a minute, you're making fun of me that
No, I'm not saying I'm making fun of you that you saw the Phantom console. I'm saying the fact that you were saying, I've seen the Phantom, I've seen him, he's up in the woods. Like, I'm just going to cut that out and have that as a like recurring loop now. But the console was basically vaporware because they didn't have any support. I think they had an Unreal Tournament demo showing on there. Like, they had Epic Games on there.
So they kept saying, so it's coming out, it's coming out, it's coming out, but they could never get funding. So
and
for
then
like the 3 years, it was this joke. It was this running joke.
And their actual corporate location was like this like hole-in-the-wall place that actually had no one in it.
Yeah.
But this actually has the backing. It has some people who actually are really high-end technologists who know how to do remote computing and stuff like that.
Okay. I just don't think right now at this time that people don't want to go to Best Buy, go pick up a special controller, a special box, plug in their TV, and play games that you can only find on the PC. The Xbox and the PlayStation,
what an Xbox is.
Well, it is, but it isn't an Xbox or a PlayStation.
Well, the big thing, though, is like, there's entire markets this could be easily put to, like, say, for example, hotel rooms.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that alone, like, you have enough people who watch Skinemax in a hotel room that they wouldn't normally watch, you know, at home, by themselves at home.
And hotels aren't doing
7
that
minutes.
Right now.
7 minutes and
that's the average time that porn is watched in a hotel room.
Really?
Yeah, 7 minutes.
How do they measure? I don't want to know.
It's all digital playback.
It's all digital playback.
Oh, that you means know. Someone's looking at our...
But,
well, who cares in terms of what people are looking to do right now? The truth of the matter is for the industry, they've got a... there's an impetus for them to push towards this type of computing in the future.
I totally agree. Like, if Xbox made an announcement this week that all their games are going to... You don't have to go to a store anymore. You just click on it and you'll be able to play right away with no downloads. then I would say, oh my gosh, now that will make it. These guys have to fight Nintendo, Sony, Xbox, then they kind of have to fight just people want to buy it on a PC.
I actually strongly disagree with you on this. The PC market has always been there. The problem is, for a lot of PC gamers, is that keeping your system up to date with the newest specs required
is a pain in the ass.
Is a pain in the butt.
Crisis 2!
Oh my god, no, I just updated my sound card, and I was like, my god, I haven't gone through it in a while.
Yeah,
but
market is there. Mm-hmm. It's just slipped away due to a number of factors. Mm-hmm. But if you can make it so that my POS... You know, POS PC.
Compact, sorry.
Yeah. It's a family show.
Well, here's a
can run Crysis.
Right.
Then I will be playing Crysis again.
Well, not only that. I mean, essentially what they said right now, all Macs can use it. Well,
I've used it on a Mac.
Macintoshes can't play any games. So this would be a good
Steam
example.
Came out on the Mac, and I play my Team Fortress 2 now.
Okay, so you play two games.
Portal and Left 4 Dead coming. All right, Counter Strike's coming out next week, and Left 4 Dead's coming out in another month.
Yeah. So four games. That's not an industry. That's
four games does not.
Shut your face, sir.
But this would allow a Macintosh user to play Batman: Arkham Asylum.
I just think the gaming market is not the Mac market. You know, most Mac users are more sort of like trendy and they don't see themselves as gamers. Mac users play games they don't see as games.
What's up? How you doing, Don? What's this been recorded on?
Yeah.
Right, sir.
I'm just saying.
The one thing though is people forget that Halo, before it came out, was demoed at Apple Macworld. With Steve Jobs on there. Bungie was on there saying, hey, we're bringing this great game to the Mac.
Yeah.
And Microsoft just came in and just took it and said...
Wasn't Marathon or whatever it was?
Marathon
that,
Myth.
Was
the Marathon series was Bungie's predecessor, which was all on the Mac.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Myth. The Myth series.
Myth.
There was like a little top-down dungeon crawler game.
I know it.
I'm pretty sure Myst was PC.
Not Myst. Myth.
Right.
Oh, you think that was PC? I thought that was Mac as well.
No, I'm saying Myst.
Oh.
Sorry.
Oh, yes. I see. We've now gotten totally confused.
Yes. Anyway, yes. Bungie was on first. Bungie was a Mac.
Myth.
Mac.
Myst?
Myth.
Myth. Myth.
Who? What?
But, I don't know. I think it would be awesome if I could play, real-time strategy game on my iPad. Right when I heard that announcement, I went straight to that website, looked it up. Right now, you can't do anything but just sign up to wait in line.
Mm-hmm.
But I would love to... I'd buy it for my iPad alone. If I could play PC graphic games on my iPad, to me, that would be an awesome service. Mm-hmm. I'd pay some money for that. Well, I just don't know if they're going to be able to survive in this... market right now.
Well, the service, the first year of it's going to be free, as I mentioned again, $4.95 a month after the first year. They're going to be offering rentals, which will be 3-day or 7-day rentals. They even will provide you a 30-minute demo of the entire game. So I can imagine people doing speed runs to see how far they could get in the game.
See, that's smart.
Yeah.
That's smart. That's what's kept the casual market afloat.
And by the way, it's only free if you sign up for an AT&T service.
Well, the thing is, they're partnered with them for bandwidth provision. Providing, but the thing is, it's not necessarily they're going to offer it as a standalone service. They're just partnering up as a bundle, like how you have, like in Baltimore, you have WiMAX with Sprint or something like that.
Right.
You know, it's going to be a service that you get on top of it, like phone service.
So, was there anything else at E3 that was like the bestest thing ever that you saw?
Well, the thing that I thought looked awesome.
One thing I wanted to bring up with you guys though was motion control.
It's the year of motion control.
Yeah, we have. Is the controller dead?
Well, here's my take. First of all, I don't think it's the year of motion control. I just think it's the year of catching up to Wii. And what I mean by catching up, I don't mean technology, because you all know that I think the Wii is a big piece of shit.
Family friendly.
Sorry. Big piece of... obvious that we saw nothing really new. We saw a whole bunch of Wii-ish games that were better than, I thought, worked better than the Wii games. Except for, there were some things that I thought were kind of intriguing with Xbox.
With the Microsoft Kinect.
Kinetics is a...
Kinect?
Kinetics was Kinect. The Sony game for...
Right.
Kinect.
Yeah, formerly Natal.
Right.
Which is a familiar game.
I actually disagree. I believe the Kinect is the next logical evolution. of the Wii. But it's I don't think it's a large as large a step as they're saying it is.
I think that it's different, but I think that it's going to be really frustrating not to have a controller in your hand.
If you're doing
like the PlayStation, like for example, like for there was like for like I think that there's a the Dance Central looked like the most fun game that I saw.
Okay,
and that was
for those Kinect. Of you who don't know Kinect. Let's bring them up to speed, I guess.
The Kinect is the rebranding of what was called Project Natal, which was actually demoed at last year's E3. And was basically, it's a stereoscopic camera system with a microphone array that's able to do voice detection for login, facial recognition for login, and allow you to have full skeletal-based input for, you know, the user interface. So basically, if I walk on screen, it sees me in 3D, where I'm located, who else is on there, automatically adds a split screen if a second player comes on in front of it, and allows me to control it through voice commands, through the media player, or through motions.
Okay. So it's like a big body tracking without the golf
balls. It's mocap for home.
Right.
Yeah. Now, two things. Like, one, I think it's going to definitely be a good, solid addition to the system for a lot of people.
Yes,
I don't see it necessarily replacing the controller yet for two different reasons. One of the games that they were demonstrating there was... Kinetimals? Do you remember what it was called?
Yeah, Kinetimals. It's with one of all the wild tigers.
Right. Which was incredibly cute. It was Microsoft's answer to Nintendogs.
Basically. Right.
Now, they were demoing like some of the things that you can make your animal do. So, like, if you lay down on the floor and stick your arms and legs up in the air, the animal will do the same. How many people do you know are going to roll around on the floor?
Kids. I mean, the fact they had the kid, they had a little girl being like, Snooki, I love you, blah, blah, blah. And, like, very cute little Asian girl. And, like, you know, she all of a sudden hides, and then the cat's like, meow, meow, like, on the screen trying to see where she is. And it's an interesting thing, because it actually, it's done, I believe it's done by Lionhead Studios, the guys who showed off Milo.
That was Lionhead?
I believe it was. It was a lot of people.
I missed that.
I think it was, because there's a lot of design aspects to it that look the same.
Milo was the one that was the Milo was little freaky kid.
Who, yeah, and that wasn't there.
That wasn't there this year. That was just a proof of concept last year.
Okay.
Or it was one of those AT&T in the future kind of videos.
Yeah.
But it was definitely...
I'm not convinced that it's going to be the big hit with kids that they're hoping it'll be.
Yeah, I mean, they're selling branded plush toys that have a little barcode on them that you place in front of the camera and gives you that cat in real life, or on the game from real life item.
Why didn't it just recognize it? Hello?
But... Here's what's interesting.
You are
a cynical man, Aaron.
Yes, he is.
Well, because then anybody could just loan it to somebody else and unlock the animal. You need that barcode.
He's just going to have a field day with this one.
Let me just finish this thought real quick.
Sure, sure.
The other reason why I think that it's not going to replace it at this point is Patrick and I discussed this really briefly.
Mm-hmm.
The motion sensors they were using in the demonstration areas, I don't believe are the motion sensors that come with the game. They were significantly larger than the one I saw demoed on the other part of the floor.
All right, now, so you think there's some shenanigans going on?
I believe there's a little bit of shenanigans. Now, the other model was using, supposedly, the retail version, right? And this model, I saw a man trying to play this sort of zombie whack-a-mole game, right? And first off, he was not able to get the thing to recognize his waving hand so that he could move through the UI. He was unable to select the game. He was unable to start it.
Okay.
And then when it finally did start... the motion wasn't... It didn't notice him moving as much as he wanted it to.
So it wasn't one-to-one body tracking.
So some of the...
It drifted.
I'm going by one sample.
Okay, right.
So I need that disclaimer.
Some of the games, I think, are dependent on the developer. It is definitely a weird beast. From some developer friends I've talked to, they say it is very difficult to program for because it eats resources like a hog in heaven.
Okay.
Because doing the stereoscopic processing while doing your graphics... It's just they don't have enough memory on the
but all the console. Tracking stuff, they're not developing tracking stuff. That's inside the Xbox. You know, they don't have to program for
that's
that part.
Still resources that they have to allocate.
Well, true,
to
true,
that.
True.
So it's if you're
but if it's not tracking you, that's an Xbox Kinect problem, not a developer problem. Who's developing the game?
Well, knowing your tools, I think is a combination of both the console maker and also the developer. So if the demo doesn't work. you know, it's Microsoft's fault for first allowing that demo to be on the floor.
Yeah. Yeah, like it could have been lighting in the room.
It's entirely possible. Yeah. That's why I had to do a disclaimer. This is one sample. Yeah.
Also, they did, the ones that you were talking about, the zombie games, had them in these, like, kind of pods where people were behind them walking around on the convention floor.
The one I saw was in front of a white wall.
It was the Ubisoft one?
It was somewhere else. It was like actually a hardware area for a company I wasn't familiar with.
So it sounds like they set it up for it to work well, and then maybe
in my mind, it looked like an optimal place to use.
Because they had a couple different types of rooms. Sega had one for their Sonic colors.
That was actually, that was a beautiful setup they had there. I was
very impressed. Also, the Ubisoft ones had these interesting, like, kind of, you know, sliding door pods where the back wall was, you know, bookshelf looking, and then you had the camera offers up.
But the two things to me that looked cool to me was the dance. Essentially, it's Rock Band with dance moves.
It's like elbow, kick, do a pull.
Right. So you're sitting there, and it knows what dance moves you're doing. Now you're right, Don. If this is like a shenanigans, like I thought the Wii has been doing for years, where it's not really what they say it is, this is going to be a big disaster.
I played it, and that's realistic. It does it.
Was there a lightsaber game as well?
They showed a trailer for one, but there was not one.
That was a trailer. There's no confirmed actual final product, and it was actually too well timed to be an actual playable game.
Now, did you see the interface to Let's Dance?
I did.
I mean, to
Dance.
One game, Fitness Evolved from Ubisoft.
That one looks good to me, too.
I really liked that demo.
That called your shit out if you weren't doing the proper rising, you know, dog
because
for yoga.
Because it body tracks you, it can tell what your angles of your arms and legs are, and it will adjust you. So there is a... Well, it's a workout mode, and it can say, sorry, you need to drop your butt, you know, deeper bend, if it can see if you're cheating.
Yeah, because
two interesting points with this, though. First of all, I want to go back. Well, let me give the point for this one, I'll give the point for the other one later. But I wonder what type of liability issues they have with this. You know, because if they're telling you how to do yoga and someone can say, well, you know, it told me to do the wrong thing or it wasn't tracking me and then I got hurt because of it.
They'll have a warning label. What about don't use this in a dark room.
Yeah, I guess that's...
What about yoga tapes?
Well, that's a good point.
This actually tells you if you're doing it wrong, though. I mean, it shows you our presentation.
But if it nothing never like messes that up, it says the wrong thing is my question.
And the Wii Fit's been out for a long time right now. I haven't heard anything of it falls into that.
But the other cool thing, like in that one, they also had like a martial arts section, and they would have these virtual cubes, and you would actually have to break them, and then... Well, I mean, I would work up a sweat.
What's cool about that there's one major cool thing about that is because the fact that the Kinect, I want to say it's all, because that whole rebranding reminds me of, like, the Project Revolution being made Wii.
Kinect.
Yeah. Branding with the Kin. Kin phones, if anyone knows, is the really bad phone that they just came out with from Microsoft. But the one thing that was really interesting is that it auto-detected how tall you were, because it knows your tracking, and made the user interface fit you. So if you were doing the kickboxing one, the hitboxes you have to hit for were on your scale. And if there was someone who came on to join you, it would be on their scale. So you had this 6-foot guy to this 5-foot woman. Their boxes were smaller depending on who was playing. And so it was your range of motion. Yeah, it was... The user interface was on par with a Minority Report user interface.
But I would tend to agree. Again, for me, it was best in show.
Mm-hmm.
But the PlayStation... Move, which is their essentially Wiimote. The impressive thing about that is that damn thing looks like it is one-to-one tracking dead on. I mean, everything I've seen of that, they can like put like a sword freaking in your hand and
that was
tracking.
It was very realistic. Getting to play that, like I got to get behind doors last year to play with the test demo, which they like, I don't know how I was able to get back there because I'm no one. But, when you did the arrow shooting part that they showed in the demo videos, I didn't actually have to pull the quiver back. If I wanted to, I could just toss the arrow and hit one of the zombie guys by just flinging it real quickly.
Right.
And so there's this very much this feel to it. And I was playing SOCOM 4 with it, and it just felt like butter. You know, you get into that prone position.
But how do you move? Like, I don't think we...
Well, the way it works is you have two... With certain games, you have to have two joysticks. One's the navigational controller, and one's the wand that actually shows where you're pointing. Mm-hmm. The wand has the ball that changes colors, and that's what it's tracking, because it's an infrared signal that's being sent out to the camera.
But what's interesting here is that when you start to look at the combination between all of these things where it's tracking you as well, like, in, you know, I mean, it, what's interesting to me is that not so much these things in a one-to-one basis, that you've got a game where you can punch stuff. It's how does that now combine with a controller? How does that... So, like, for example, it would be great to be playing a game where if I lean a little bit, my character will lean a little bit. So
and they have that. They showed demos with that. Like, with the... I saw the box. I didn't actually get to play. We're talking about this in the car with me and Don. And it does lean if you lean. You know, I lean, you lean. Just like that.
I was impressed by the boxing game. I wanted to try that one. This is
the PlayStation boxing game?
PlayStation move, right. The only thing I had a chance to play was this game where you're... a crazed office worker who's racing down San Francisco roads on an office chair, which was a brilliant concept.
Very Japan.
But again, it was one of those things where I'm like, this probably shouldn't have been demoed because I found the Wiimote, the Move Mote was very unresponsive. I had a very hard time actually doing any sort of movement.
Well, one really cool demo they showed during the press conference that I did not get to play, but from the looks of it, looks actually really cool, was a game called Sorcery, which was basically, the best way to explain its assets that they used for the graphics design was half Harry Potter, half Black Cauldron. You actually have the one-to-one control where you use your wand and you have to do it in a certain order and pattern to do certain spells, and then you have certain spells, like you have a wind one where you're spinning around like this, and basically that's making the little swirling.
Like a lariat.
Yeah, like a lariat. Another one where you're doing fire and it's an up-down motion. And you can actually combine those together so you can do a wall of flames, like, with a grand swipe of your hand, and then do the winter, you know, the tornado, and then you have a fire tornado take out everyone. And you can do another one where you basically raise your hand up, hold it for several seconds charging, and then drop it hard onto the ground. That lets your area, you know, destruction attack. And one of the really cool example was they showed you could pick a potion out of your category of stuff, and then shake the one controller and the little orb would change once it was ready. It would actually slowly change till the potion was the right thing, and then you drink it, and then it was like an effect where you turn into a rat and you have to crawl through a little space.
But so you shake up the potion bottle like a soda, and then you have to tip it into your mouth, and it registers all that, so it knows when you are drinking it. It's pretty cool. But this is a good example of, like, for the motion, like, this, the reason why I want to hold it is, like, when I play my Star Wars game,
lightsaber,
I want the handle, and I want the button. It'll bzzz. I don't want to pretend like, in with my Kinect, that I've got a pretend lightsaber. I want like a handle.
One thing that was funny that's an actual official Sony peripheral was a little gun that you slide your the orb move mote into, and it literally looks like a 50s Buck Rogers gun now.
That's kind of cool.
And
they better name those controllers soon, you know, because
they have. I just can't remember them because it's not in my nomenclature yet.
Did anybody see the Ubisoft?
I want to say though is if they have a little gun, all I gotta say is lightsaber. Because you have a glowing orb, and it just automatically starts glowing.
They're just going to have to weight that controller a bit more, because it's too light to feel like a...
Well, that's what I'm saying, is the gun you have, you just slide in there. You could put a lightsaber one in there. I think if you're going dark side, your lightsaber starts changing colors for you.
Oh, yeah.
That's Did anybody cool see the Ubisoft laser tag setup?
Mm-mm. No.
I did not.
So, Ubisoft demoed this in their press conference. Essentially, they're coming out with laser tag,
awesome,
with the belts, with the sensors, like a little vest sensor thing, guns and all that.
Was it the Bulletstorm guys?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. This is not an Xbox. This is its own little game.
Okay.
You run around, you could go play out in the park and stuff, but apparently it has like a game master and it makes scenarios for you. It knows who you're shooting at, so instead of this whole, like, you know, it has to hit the sensor, it's communicating back with all the guns. So you can have teams, so you hit the right person, it scores the right team, all that. But not only that, but they have these little cube boxes that are like ammo packs and things. And if you pick them up and touch them to the bottom of your gun, it reloads them. Mm-hmm. And they can also be objective markers. So you could say, okay, we're setting up a field, you have to go to this place, hit your gun, which then, you know, loads the scenario. And I don't know, The demo was pretty lame because they really they demoed it for about 30 seconds and then they went off stage to some Xbox game.
Yeah.
But it seemed intriguing that they're starting to put more technology in the gun and the sensor so that they can have games like Capture the Flag or that may you make your own games and your own scenarios on a PC,
wherever.
Load them into all your guns, maybe wirelessly, I'm not sure, and then go out and play this new version of laser tag, which is way better than... You could even, like, they said boost... I think they said that you could boost the gun, so, like, maybe they have a range at one point, but if you click and you upgrade your gun, the range increases. So, anyway, I thought that was kind of, like... At least Ubisoft was like, hey, you know what? Let's just do a game that's
starting
not...
to stretch.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
No. Because the money is always in the Chinese-made, you know, plastic objects.
Well, yeah. Now, let me ask your opinion, Patrick. Mm-hmm. One thing I sort of noticed this year, and this is my opinion, mm-hmm. was that I call it the year of motion, of the motion controller.
Okay.
Because it seemed to me a lot of developers were shying away from any other innovation in games mm-hmm. because they're not sure what's coming next.
That's
so.
True.
I like as far as the actual games go, I didn't see much that really got me excited this year.
Well, did anything hit 3D this year?
There was. Thank you for bringing this up as a segue. There was Nintendo revealing the next in their 30-year-long line of portable devices, the 3DS, which is basically
That's right. It's got two screens.
It's a DS dual screen
with
the top screen now being 3D. They were completely tight-lipped on anything related to technology. The things that they were able to tell were what were glaring. They could not tell you.
Mm-hmm.
It has a stereoscopic cameras in the back, so you can actually take pictures. And supposedly, they say they'll be able to do video as well.
That's cool.
They already have partnerships with Disney, Warner Brothers, and DreamWorks to release movies in 3D on the device as well. They had a trailer for How to Train Your Dragon. They had a trailer for the new Disney film Tangled, which was Rapunzel. And then they had another one I couldn't remember, sorry. But they also had some demo games and a augmented reality demo as well.
Oh!
Yes.
That's a good idea.
Also,
Kid Icarus?
Yes. Kid Icarus is back now. They brought that back for one of the first main titles for it.
Man.
They have Pilot Wings, Star Fox.
I think I saw Donkey Kong Country coming back, too.
Donkey Kong's for the Wii, though.
That's
Return
to 3D.
Oh, I thought it was in 3D.
But one of the big things they showed that a lot of people, because they're all Kojima fans, were happy about is Snake Eater, the same level of graphics for the PS2 on this little device.
Mm-hmm.
It's got an analog stick on it now as well. It's going to have some sort of ability of constantly polling around you for wireless signals to find out who's around you. So it automatically updates who's ever in the leaderboards. Like, if it finds an internet connection, it auto-updates, like, you were the loser, so you can't just, like, let that go by. It automatically just pulls the internet. It's made for network connectivity, which has actually been a really big popular thing in Japan with an example of Dragon Quest, where if you're in a Tokyo subway and someone else has the game in their device... It pulls to see who's around, who has the game as well, to get maps from them for quests. It automatically generates new maps from people who are around you.
Hmm.
Or you can actually make the treasure maps for these events. And so they're really trying to push that idea of network connectivity.
I'll believe that when I see it from Nintendo, because they have been nothing but D- to F.
Yes, yes.
Internet related.
Friend code is the most abysmal thing known to man.
Yeah.
But they look like they've gotten their stuff in order. Like, immediately when you were playing some of these demos of the games, they showed some network capabilities to them that automatically found the other DSs around them. And then the augmented reality that they showed was really cool. They had a little, you know, typical, it's Nintendo, so you had the question mark box as
right.
your little, you know, QR code thing right there. And you then had, once it started, you had to line it up just right so your stereoscopic vision saw it. And it then showed little targets. And you had to move around to shoot the targets. And then when you got to the second tier, it created a gravity well. And so the table literally was having a sunken little, you know, part where all the other targets were starting to fall into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it would, it bounced up and down. And that was very cool. But some of the issues were that if you were looking at this in 3D, being that I'm a man with spectacles,
mm-hmm.
The lighting condition they had there was a very top-down spotlight. And this 3DS is one piece of glass over top of it, essentially plastic. And so a single glare hits one eye, you lose the stereoscopic vision. If I wasn't looking at the device within 3 inches of my face, I normally am not affected by this with 3D, but I was literally getting a mild headache as soon as I started playing the device.
Is this flickering on and off or something?
It's not that it was flickering on and off, it's just that the lighting was very bad. You have to have that ambient lighting. And also, the augmented reality kept being dropped by the shadow of the game. It's the game console itself.
So your eyes are working.
So my eyes are working hard, and so is the brain.
But other 3D stuff, Crysis 2, there's a couple other games for PlayStation and for Xbox. They are both claiming will have 3D out of the box. So if you have a PlayStation and a 3D TV, you can start playing like a Crysis next year in full 3D.
Yeah, they showed Killzone 3 during the press conference and in the press area to see in 3D, and it actually was pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
You got some sense out of that.
Like, it made me go, well, I have to buy a TV here soon. I was like, maybe I should look for a 3D TV.
Yeah. But the one thing with that is 3D is a whole other technology on itself. It works on doing basically an interlaced signal, for those who don't know. Currently, the best 3D TV I've seen is the Sony ones. And the reason why they do that is it's a 360 hertz television set that draws one during each hertz, it's one frame. So it draws a frame for the left eye, a frame that's black that stops your persistence of vision, and a frame for the right eye. And so it's doing that continual, like, it goes left eye, black, right eye, black, left eye, you know, black, and then it just competes that.
Right.
And that is the sharpest 3D image I've seen. THQ actually demoed a non-glasses 50-inch television set that was 3D as well. But those TVs are far and few between, and they require a very limited sweet spot to sit in.
Right.
Like, literally 6 inches in the middle of the...
In the middle.
Well, not 6 inches in the middle, but you have to be, like, you have, like... Intel showed one at CES that was, you had 10 places you could sit in front of the TV.
And that's it.
And that was it. And there was another no-name company who showed one at 12. And, yeah, but it's we'll it's
far. That'll change. That's far. That's just, we're at the very, very tip.
And being that, I think we've finished our discussion.
Hey, by the way, just before, did anybody see Rock Band with the real guitars?
No.
No, they didn't have a set.
Damn it! That sounds so awesome.
The MIDI controller, that was really cool. Though.
Did you heard about this? So yes. You know Rock Band has three different versions.
Cool, it's a great way. To me, it's like the two things that feels like the fitness industry and workout videos are going down, and it feels, or at least changing vastly, and also music teachers.
Yeah,
like they're going to
I think
getting a boost or going down.
I think they'll get a boost because you'll learn how to play some music, but if you want to learn like the theory and stuff like that,
right.
You know, you'll have
if you want to be good, you're going to have that human touch.
So you can play Lady Gaga.
What are you talking about? I'm going to Rock Band 3 my way to Rockstar.
It's like an episode of Mission Hill where it's like, I can learn how to play the organ. Green, 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 blue. Blue, 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 green. So I think this ends our discussion for E3.
Excellent.
And thanks, guys, for being on for the discussion.
No problem.